Would you turn to Colossians, please? Let me put my guitar away here. If I could preach an entire revival from one book, I would love for the Lord to unleash me and let me preach from the book of Colossians. How many truths to help us, encourage us, convict us, can challenge us from this blessed four-chapter book. Now, folks, my message comes at the end of this book, but I want to start at the front to give the idea to you an understanding of what this book is all about. And, folks, this is what ministry is set forth from. Of course, you've got to be saved. But somewhere in your new life in Christ, you've got to come to this decision. Christ must have preeminence. If Jesus Christ is not first and foremost in your life, you're not going to be faithful. Do you remember the phrase I gave you this morning? Do you remember what we talked about at the banquet? When Jesus ceases to be what? Precious, man ceases to be faithful. And folks, that only comes when you put Him into your heart, setting forth through your life the way it's supposed to be done to let all this wonderment of God take place in our hearts and be set forth in all we are and all we do. Now, the theme of this book happens to be, I believe, from chapter 1 all the way to chapter 4, Christ the preeminent one. And I want to show you that in each chapter and give you some other just encouraging verses. But let's bow our heads, let's ask God to help us, and don't miss the invitation. Folks, look up here. Do you think this altar should have been flooded out? No room for anybody else to come this morning? Do you think? Yeah, it should have. But what happens, folks, on an invitation? Same thing happens when preaching takes place. You don't listen to what God's trying to say. Then you may listen, but you don't choose to say again, no flesh and yes, God, and respond in a very obedient, submissive fashion to what God's trying to bring to your life. And what God's trying to do with your life. Aren't you still bought with the price? Amen. And aren't you still here to glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are His? How dare you set your own schedule? How dare you, again, make adjustments to accomplish what you think should be done instead of simply trusting and obeying God? Folks, this church is on, again, just on the edge of such, of going forth to do great things for the cause of Jesus Christ. And God wants to use you like you could never imagine. He's just waiting for you to sign up. He's just waiting for you to submit and allow Him to truly be the guide, the governor, the director of your life. And again, that life that belongs to Him. So heads bowed and eyes closed. Let's ask God to do a great work here. And don't miss what God's trying to bring to your heart. Don't miss the preaching, but don't miss the invitation and that opportunity of commitment and surrender under Him. Heavenly Father, help us now, Lord, as we have another installment from Your blessed, wonderful, perfect Word. And God, I just pray we'll be so attentive to Your voice. God, we'll be so hungry to hear more of what You had to say. And Lord, more excited than ever to respond in faithfulness to Your leading. Lord, if there's some sin clogging up the works, easily besetting someone here tonight, God, help them to confess that sin and become in workable, usable order for the cause of Jesus Christ. Lord, there's some here tonight that simply, again, need to be more dedicated, more faithful, not just more busy, but more about Your business. Making sure, God, that You are adjusting the schedule to accomplish what You know needs to be done through these lives, again, that belong unto You. Lord, we had a great time around Your Word today. God, I believe You have worked and are working in many hearts. But Lord, there's still more that can and should be done in the hearts of these believers to prepare them for the work that's coming. And Lord, Christianity, as far as I've seen from my perspective and understanding, it's just flat out hard, diligent, sacrificial work. So God, help us to be ready to buy up the opportunities and be faithful to those responsibilities as pastors already mentioned. And God, don't let us miss a drop of what You have us to be faithful unto. God, we love You. We thank You for tonight. Thank You for the fun we've had. But Lord, thank You now that we can feed on the blessed Word of God and again be challenged by the convicting power of the Holy Spirit of God. So again, God, we thank You for what You've done, but we look forward, Lord, to this message, this opportunity of again responding unto You. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Look with me, Colossians chapter 1. First of all, let's look at Christ, the preeminent one, in the matter of creation. Would you go now with me to verse 15 of chapter 1 of the book of Colossians? It says here in verse 15, "Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature? For by Him," talking of Jesus, "were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by Him and for Him, and He is before all things, and by Him all things consist," or all things are held together. Folks, look up here. Do you understand? I know you know this. I know you understand that Jesus is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning, the end. He created all things by Him. All things are held together. But outside these walls, these people don't have a clue. Do you understand me? We take so familiar and so just nonchalantly what Jesus has done and what He's doing. Jesus, God incarnate, who created all things, holds all things together, died in our place. And now He lives to make intercession on our behalf to give us the wherewithal of faith for us. Can I have a wow from the crowd, please? That was pathetic. Let me hear a wow. Come on, I've been having you work all night. Are you worn out? Bless your heart. Do we need to have a little breaky-wakey, you know? Yeah. Let me hear a wow, please.
Wow.
Don't lose the wow, the wonder of it all. Do you hear me? That the Creator of all died on our behalf. And now He wants to use us to do what He would have done to the lives of people around us. That is a wow, folks. Don't lose that, or you'll grow stagnant, stale, ineffective for what God would have done. Look on with me in verse 18. This is convicting. You're not sure whether or not you should put Jesus first and really first? Don't miss verse 18. It says in verse 18, He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in the things I want to yield to His control, He might have the preeminence. Is that in your Bible? No, it's just the way most Christians live. Well, I like that part, but I don't want to do that much. That just makes me uncomfortable. You know what? That's a sinful thought and a sinful choosing. You're rebelling what God has instructed you to be faithful to, rebelling against it. And don't go there and do that. But if you keep, again, letting yourself be preeminent in where you go, what you do, and how you do it, you're going to miss out on faithfulness to what God is looking to do in your heart through your life. Folks, just mark it down. It's going to happen. So here's how to get yourself in the position of, again, being used of God. I mean, boom, with much fruit. He's got to be first place. Look at the verse again. And He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things, say it with me, folks, in all things, what you watch on television? Yeah. What you involve yourself with as far as activities are concerned? Yeah. Where you go, what you do, and how you do it, you better believe it. See, Christ must be the bottom line of decision-making process of where you go, where you'll not go, and what you do, and how you'll do it. And if He's not first place, you are not right with God. And you won't perform faithfully to the will and working of God. Isn't that happening today? Everything takes precedence over the Lord Jesus Christ. But folks, that in all things He might have preeminence, which means first place. Now, what do we do with this message and news about Jesus, His working and His will? Well, look on down with me to this wonderful passage. I'd love to read every verse. But look at verse 27. It says, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Very easy question. I know you know the answer. Is there any way to get to heaven apart from Jesus? Talk to me, folks. No, not according to this book. Neither is there salvation in any other. For there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Jesus' personal testimony. He says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. Now, what do we do with those truths? We'll keep reading in this passage. It says in verse 28, whom we preach, warning every man, teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect or all grown up in Christ Jesus. Again, folks, we're blowing it in this area. I'm not going to quit preaching this until Jesus takes me home. You should be teaching someone and helping them grow up in Christ. But I'm telling you, most Christians don't go anywhere close to that in their so-called faithful life unto Jesus. You're not being faithful. You are here to teach faithful men, to teach faithful men, to teach faithful men. Look back here, folks. You are here to herald forth the truth. Don't go that way. Oh, no, don't make that. Don't go listen to that kind of music. I had a blessed thing today. You know, I got a little ADD, so stay with me, okay? I kind of, whoa, I'm over there, so stay with me. You know what happened, folks? I got home from, I got where I'm staying, got back, and there was a note underneath my door. Now, folks, you don't understand how important every conversation is. Before I left a certain place yesterday, I heard something going on in that place that shouldn't be going on. It was the wrong kind of music. And I told the guy who was in charge of this, I said, you know what? That sounds like, you know, the enemy's camp. That's not the right thing to park in the ears of those kids that are coming to this activity. He says, yeah, I know, Brother Manor. He says, I'm having struggle with that. You know, helping these people understand that. I said, preach harder. And don't compromise because you want them to like you. No, be more concerned about pleasing Jesus than pleasing man, and tell them what they need to hear to free them from the wrong choosing. But see, folks, we don't like that because that faces that thing called rejection. They don't like me. They may not talk to me. You know what? I'd rather please Jesus than please man and have him again spank me. I don't want to get spanked. I deserve it more than I get it. You hear me? But I want to make sure that I am faithful in telling people in a right way. Folks, right spirit. We do kind of do it harshly sometimes. Y'all with me? We do it like this. Oh, you wicked liberal people, get right with God. When we should be doing it like this. You understand the difference? Your kids, again, are hearing the right truth from you, Dad. But are you doing it this way? Or are you doing it this way? You're here as a parent to warn them and teach them, but reprove, rebuke, exhort with long suffering and doctrine. That means doing it biblically. And folks with the wrong spirit is being unbiblical, not biblical. So again, not like, put your hand up, show me you're listening. Go, stupid kids, you wife, you need to get right with God. No. Hey, honey, sweetheart, let me show you Christ's likeness. Let me present to you in a loving way the love of Jesus. No, you need to be spiritual like me. Oh, brother. Okay. But here it is, people. Now you think, Brother Maynard, are you making this up? No, just read the verse again. You have God's will right here for you. You're here to tell people about Jesus and then help them be Christ-like. Do I need to go any further? No. Look at the next verse. Paul says, this is what I'm doing too. He says in verse 29, whereunto I also labor. And again, Christianity is flat out, hard, diligent, faithful, consistent. Here I am, work. He says, whereunto I also labor, striving. That's putting the pedal to the metal, folks. Not sitting there go, well, what are we going to do next? Kind of the droopy approach to Christianity. Remember droopy? Just kind of the sad face, slow go. We've got too many droopies and too many Eeyores, don't we, people? You know, they're just feeling so sorry for themselves. And it's going to rain. Oh, we'll probably never grow anymore. You know I should be a soul winner, but I won't be successful. No wonder you're messing up. No wonder you're not making an impact because you're looking to you instead of trusting, obeying, and being filled with the power of Lord Jesus Christ. But look at it, folks. Paul says, this is work and I'm doing it too. Let's go down to chapter 2. In chapter 2 and verse 3, it says, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge? Now, folks, we know Jesus, the living Word, has blessed us with the written Word of God. But how many Christians live in bankruptcy? Most Christians. Survey was taken in a church I was attending down in Greenville, South Carolina, one of the Get It Done churches of Greenville. And there are a lot of them down there, you hear me? And you know what? They took a survey on how many people read their Bible daily and how much they read. You know what the average was of this church? About 600, maybe 900, 5 minutes a day. No wonder we're carnal. No wonder we're not making a powerful impact to the world around us, folks. You can't be successful and prosperous apart from faithfulness to the Word of God. Read Joshua chapter 1 verse 8. No wonder you're not an effective pastor or effective parent or effective teenager. You're not filling your stuff with the power source of God's blessed Word to do the work that God's looking to do in your head, heart, and life. And again, folks, are you bankrupt? Or are you filled with the treasures of wisdom and knowledge? You've got something worthwhile to invest into the lives of others. That's what your kids need, Dad. Mom, if Dad's not coming up to the plate, hitting the bat the way he should spiritually, you step up the plate and teach them what they need to hear. And teenagers, if your mom and dad are both backslid as a barnyard door, you be faithful and quit using mom and dad as an excuse. Hear me? Happens far too much. Look on with me. I've got to keep going here. Well, let me say this. Let me park on this real quick. Do you daily do your devotions? If not, get that right. Okay? I'm just going to breeze by this. Do you study to show yourself approved unto God?
Oh, Brother Manor, I've been in this church for, you know, at least 35,000 years. And I've been up to the Defoe legacy. And now I'm under the perfect preaching of Brother Arrowwood. Yes.
And I am so well equipped, I don't even need to search and scratch the surface of God's Word on a daily basis. You're backslidden, okay? and you're going to die. You're going to be worthless. You're going to mess up the cause of Christ because you need to daily search the Scripture like God commands. And you need to be refreshed and renewed every day with the blessed truths of God's Word so you don't think carnal and you'll respond in a Christ-like way. You understand, people. You've got to be faithful in your, again, approach and, again, responsibilities of the blessed Word of God. Glad I got that off my chest. Go with me to chapter 2 and verse 10. I think the key verse of the entire book. It says, ye are complete in your bank account. Is that there? No. You're complete in your grandchildren. Folks, hands down, my grandkids are cuter than any of yours. Y'all with me here? I mean, I got the pictures. I got a DVD presentation if you'd like to see it. They'll just blow your kids out of the water. And they're precious, but I don't want them to be more important than my Jesus. Amen. Or I won't help them be what they need to be. Amen. You know what? I love my wife. My wife should have left me a long time ago. Folks, listen, she should have never married me. But I'm thankful God's grace is sufficient for her, even in my life and our relationship. I married up, people, way up. Are y'all with me? You know, here, let me help some of you young married guys. Some of you young married guys are out there going, my wife is blessed to be in my presence. And I try to remind her of that daily. You know when I got past that foolishness, about my mid-30s to early 40s, and I realized I'm the one that's blessed. I'm the one that should be praising God daily because she stays with me, let alone chose to marry me, and praise God for His mercy, love, and grace. Get over yourself, sir. Okay, so look at this. It says, and ye are complete in Him. Amen. Folks, who's the Him of the passage? Jesus. Nothing, folks, can do what Jesus does and what Jesus is looking to do. So why don't you choose to do it in a smart fashion, a right way, and let Him be your completer? It won't be sports. It won't be your financial endeavors or even your busy church work. No, Christ must be your completer. And allow Him to do as such as you choose to yield to whatever He orders up. Go with me to chapter 3. I've got to keep going to my passage of the hour. Look down with me at verse 2. It says, set your affection on things above and not on things of the earth. Why? For you're dead. You're dead. You're dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. Folks, you're supposed to be as dead to self as a man laying in the front of this church in a casket. I mean, how spooky would it be if you go up to hell? He does. Why do you always say, doesn't he look good? No, he's dead, okay? He's not there. He's up in glory for all eternity. Praise God. But if you said, hey, Herb, you want to go get a cup of coffee? And he said, well, yeah, sure. Run like nobody's business, okay? Yeah. Are y'all with me there? You're supposed to be dead to your want to, just like a guy and a girl in a casket. But that's not the way it works most of the time because we like our buttons pressed. And folks, we most certainly love to do what we want to do when we want to do it. No, you're supposed to be dead to self, alive unto Christ, ministering to the needs of others on a daily, opportunity by opportunity basis. Then we come down into chapter 3 and God really sets forth more agenda of faithfulness. Look at verse 16. Let the word of Christ dwell. The word really literally means pitch a tent in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Do you see any funky chicken for Jesus there, folks? Isn't that happening today? You know, get down, get up again, all in the name of worshiping God. What a bunch of carnal choosing that truly is, folks. No, let's stay with the book and do music that honors God and pleases Him, not, again, presses our buttons. Look on in the passage, and whatsoever you do in word or deed, does that about cover it all? Yeah, I think it does. It says, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. And then the most exciting verse for every wife I know, wives, submit yourself to that perfect man that you're blessed with. Then verse 19 says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. And He says, and be not bitter against them in this passage. That does happen, folks. It's because you're not looking to Jesus. And that's why, again, you got the wrong perspective. Then, children, obey your parents in the things you think they know about and really are really right for you to be a part of. Is that what it says? No, it says, children, obey your parents in how many things? Say it for me, kids. Not you old kids, but young kids. Kids, what does it say? Children, obey your parents in how many things? Even if you don't want to wear that nerd outfit? Ooh. Y'all with me? You know, even if you really want to go with your friends, mom and dad know better to put you over there? Yeah. Obey your parents in all things. Then it talks about servants. It talks about fathers. Provoke not your children to wrath. And then here's the motivating verse, one of my favorite verses in the Bible. And whatsoever you do, Do it heartily? Is that the word? No, that's the testimony of most believers. The word is heartily. What does heartily mean? It means, again, pedal to the metal. It means go forth with diligent effort, submissive, surrender, activity, not sitting there and hoping somebody else gets it done before you have to go do it. That's the way it works in too many local churches. No, you do your call heartily as unto the Lord, not for a pat on the back or to make preacher happy. Or again, to shut the preacher up. Well, somebody's got to do it. I might as well. Oh, that's a blessing to God, right? No, folks. And whatsoever you do, do it, what's the word? Heartily, as unto the Lord. Go to chapter 4. In chapter 4, Paul says, I got a request here. He says, continue in prayer and watch the same with thanksgiving. There's that right spirit thing working there. He says, wherewithal also, praying also for us, that God would open to us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak, walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. Now, Pastor and I were talking about that a little bit before the service. I put together a program for a pastor in Terre Haute because of a certain situation. You know what I called the program? That on purpose, all the time, looking to win someone to Jesus program. And you know how that came about? We're over in Terre Haute, Indiana, a very scary place. Have you ever been to West Terre Haute? The meth lab capital of Indiana. I know it is. Oh, scary, folks. Well, anyway, we're in this golf shop, and this guy's wanting to buy a used driver. Not a guy that drives a car. Golf, y'all with me? Some of you folks may not know. But we're in here looking at these golf clubs, and there are two old duffers in the golf shop. And they're watching us kind of pick this and pick that. And finally, the guys kind of came around and said, what you looking for? What's going on? We said, well, this club and that. And then we start talking about golf courses. And then we start talking about playing golf courses and why I'm so blessed to play so many phenomenal golf courses because I travel so much. And then, with that, it led right into a testimony of what I do. I'm an evangelist, which led right into a testimony of how Jesus saved my dirty, rotten hide. And you know what? They were asking me questions before we were done. We left that golf shop, and the pastor looked at me and said, how did you do that? I said, do what? You went seamlessly from golf clubs to salvation. And they were asking you questions. He said, that blows my mind. He said, would you teach me how to do that? And I had scratched my head and said, I'm not really sure how, but I'll try. And he says, come to my church and teach my people. But folks, isn't that the way it's supposed to be done? You know, just like the Apostle Paul, oh God, help me speak as I ought to speak. Help me, God, please, to redeem the time. If I'm going to Macy's to buy a suit, I want to tell them why I'm buying a suit. I want to look pretty for church. You know, I want to just dress my best for the cause of Christ. I get to do that all the time. You know, when you're going again to some store or you're going to some, you know, activity, always use that as an avenue or again a way to minister for the cause of Christ. And folks, that on purpose all the time, looking to win someone to Jesus program should be your agenda and your testimony of faithful choosing to the will and working of God. Do like the Apostle Paul. Ask people to pray for you. Now, folks, do you pray for the people in this church? I know you pray for your pastor, hopefully. And we know those assistant pastors really need the help, don't they? Y'all with me here? I know them real well. And you know what? You need to pray for me. Now, I don't have to be on the top of the list, but start a list and put me on it, okay? Because I don't want to mess up. And I don't want to miss opportunities of speaking as I ought to speak. And ministering as God saved and called me to minister. Pray for one another, folks, that will speak as we ought to speak, not when we're forced into visitation on Thursday or Saturday, but 24/7, that on purpose, all the time, looking to speak as we ought to speak, redeeming the time and telling people about our Jesus, excited, and again, understanding it's exactly what they need to hear if they're going to get to heaven for all eternity. Now, let me show you where I want to preach from here tonight. You say, aren't you done yet? It won't take long, I promise. Look down with me at this chapter and look with me all the way down to verse 17. Look at verse 17. It says, and say to Archippus, he's supposedly the pastor of the church of Colossae. Look at the phrase here. Take heed to the ministry which thou hast received in the Lord that thou fulfill it. You know what that means? Fully discharge your ministry responsibility. Now, folks, do you think Archippus knew he was a pastor with responsibilities? Yeah. But God knows we also need to be reminded of that, and we need to be faithful in fulfilling those responsibilities, just like He does with the archbishop here. Put your name in the place of the preacher, would you? For instance, like this, Mike, take heed to the ministry which thou hast received in the Lord, that thou fulfill it or get the job done. Now, folks, I've not always had this cakewalk blessed job of being an evangelist, okay? You know, it's just so easy. Yeah, come on, hop on board. I'll take you for a ride. Y'all with me? But listen, I've done all kinds of secular work. I've run my own business, people, and I know what it takes to get any job done, secular or sacred. You want to know how to do it? I've got two things. Write it down by this verse. First of all, you need to be available. Let's write the word availability. Say it with me, boys and girls. Availability. You know what the greatest frustration of every pastor I minister with and unto? You know what their frustration is? Being a part of a volunteer organization in which very few folks volunteer. Let me do that one again. Being part of a volunteer organization in which very few folks volunteer. Now, you know what will happen with the building program? A lot of guys will get involved. But they won't again continue on in faithfulness to do ministry fulfillment and responsibility. Oh, I'll sweep a floor. I'll drywall. I'll do a little mud and a little sand. But oh, don't call me out there to do this ministry stuff. Do you not know that actually came out of the mouth of a guy just about 2 weeks ago? I was preaching up in Michigan. They're going through a transition of who's going to be the next pastor. And before the former pastor left, he put this one backslidden guy on the pulpit committee. A guy who's not faithful like he should be faithful. And he told the interim pastor this statement. He says, now, don't expect me to go out and do any of this visitation stuff. I'm not real good at that. He says, now, don't expect me to do any work around the church because I'm not a handyman either. Now, I'm going to come to church and I hope you're satisfied with that. You know what I'd have told him? I'm not satisfied, neither is God. You know what? You're making a choice that's not yours to make. You know what, folks? No wonder you're not real good at it if you don't practice it very much. Y'all with me? It's amazing how much more proficient I become on guitar when I play guitar. Y'all with me? These girls don't play these wonderful musical blessing songs without, again, practice, practice, practice. Why don't you practice your faith in Christ? And guess what? You'll get better at it than not. And folks, we don't practice what's preached, and then we get so uncomfortable in the midst of our ministry endeavors. So the first word starts with an A. What might it be, boys and girls, friends and neighbors? Availability. Let me give you the second important word. Dependability. Dependability. Folks, as a pastor, I knew who was dependable and who wasn't in my church. I knew who I could count on and who would be here no matter what. And I could call them at 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock, 1 o'clock, even in the morning. And they say, preacher, what else can I do for the cause of Christ? Amen. Can I tell you? Pastor hadn't been here that long, but I know Pastor Defoe knows it and he's caught on too. We find out real quick who's a volunteer for Jesus. Amen. And we find out real quick who is truly dependable for the will and working of God, and those that are kind of sidelined part-time but should be full-time. Now again, listen carefully. It's not just being here learning more about Jesus. That's preparation to do the work of God. It's not, again, just kind of doing this, that, and the other as far as business is concerned, but you are equipped so you can more faithfully fulfill what God has saved and called you to do in this life that belongs to Him. Are you dependable? Show me your scorecard. Pastor, why don't you stand up and go person by person and tell me who's faithful and who's not? Would you do that? And then point out, I mean, let's just embarrass them from here till Tuesday. They're going to leave anyway after this, so pour it on, okay? And again, what would be said of you?
Well, I'm not smoking.
Well, praise the Lord, you're the temple of God. I'm not even sipping a little of Bud Light or Bud Heavy. Well, good, you're the temple of God. Well, Brother Maynard, I want you to know I read my Bible every day. Well, praise God, but you're not doing anything with it. And you're not, again, the available, dependable servant that God saved and called you to be. Your scorecard is empty. And your fruit basket's lacking that fruit of faithful service for the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Folks, everybody in Indianapolis is saved already, right? So we can back off. No, you've got hundreds, yea, thousands, hundreds of thousands of people that need to know your Jesus. And folks around this town, folks, I'm from this town. I've lived here for years. They need to know the difference of being religious versus understanding biblical, God-honoring, Christ-like living. And you people know the difference. And you need to help them know the difference. As you again choose to be available, what's the other word? Dependable to the will and working of God. Now look at this passage. I want to show you a contrast of faithfulness versus unfaithfulness. Now down in verse 10, it talks about Marcus, sister's son to Barnabas here. Look down with me in verse 10. You know who that's talking about? That's John Mark. Now get your thinking caps on here. What is the testimony of John Mark on this missionary trip with Paul and Barnabas? Remember what happened on the first missionary trip? Talk to me. What happened? He quit! Now, he was available, but what characteristic was he lacking? Dependability. Now, why did he miss one of the most... Wouldn't you love to go on a missionary trip with Paul and Barnabas? Come on, talk to me. Wouldn't that be exciting and so blessed? I mean, Pastor Aaron would be okay, Brother DePoe, yeah, okay. But in comparison to go with Paul and Barnabas, folks, how sweet that would be. Now, did he have some blonde girlfriend back home he couldn't live without? Possible. Did he have to get a job, you know, a second job to make his, you know, chariot payments or something? I don't know. But for some reason, he quit on an opportunity of ministering alongside with Paul and Barnabas. Now, what happens on the second missionary trip? Does anybody remember? Now, it involves Paul and Barnabas and John Mark and one other guy, Silas. What was the discussion between Paul and Barnabas concerning John Mark? What was their discussion? Paul says, I want to take him with us. And Barnabas says, oh, let him come. No. When I'm out there fighting the good fight of faith, I want to make sure my soldiers are right by my side and again doing the work that needs to be done. So what happens? Paul and Silas go down into Philippi. Jailer gets saved. We know the ministry there, how blessed that was. But there was also a blessed impact in ministry between Paul and Barnabas and John Mark. Barnabas was one of those, hey, come here and let me help you be what you're supposed to be for Christ. Come alongside, let me help you fix what's broken. And God did a great work, didn't He? Because in the book of Timothy, what does Paul say concerning John Mark, who was once lacking in dependability? He says, take Mark with thee, for he is what? Profitable for the cause of Christ. You know what that does for me and does for you? That gives me hope and help. You can be a survivor, people. Who cares about these survivor programs? Get a load of this one here. A guy who's reclaimed and restored and usable now for the cause of Christ and labeled for all eternity profitable. You've blown it. Don't continue to blow it. You've been unfaithful. Don't choose to continue to be unfaithful. I don't care how deep a sin you've got yourself messed up with. Get help through Reformers Unanimous or something. Get some counseling and encouragement and become just like John Mark, profitable for the cause of Jesus Christ. Now, that's a guy who was a survivor. Let me show you another testimony here of a guy who was... This was kind of a bad word in my home, a sucker. But let me tell you where I got this. You know, does anybody like Bugs Bunny? Can I see your hands, please? Come on, you closet Bugs Bunny freaks, okay? Do you remember Bugs Bunny always won? He always had the... You know, he's the star of the show. But do you remember the cartoon where the dog's chasing Bugs Bunny? Which way did he go, George? Which way did he go? Does anybody remember that specifically? Now, Bugs would always dupe this dog. He was dumb dog. And every time he fooled the dog's head would turn into what? A big lollipop. And what was written above the lollipop? Sucker. You can't get that from Bob Jones, boys and girls. I'm telling you right now, that's where I get this point. Let me show you the picture of this guy. Look with me down to verse 14. It says, Luke, the beloved physician. Now, folks, you say Luke was backslidden. No. Look at the next guy. And Demas greets you. Now, how many of you have a child named Demas? Can I see your hand? Over here, you guys do back here, no doubt. Okay. No. Does anybody have a child named Demas? No. How about your dog? Unless you don't like your dog. Why don't we name our kids Luke and Paul and John and Ringo? Don't we do all that, folks? That was my past life. I'm sorry. You know, we name our kids all these faithful biblical characters, but we don't name them Demas because he's not remembered as faithful. Here in this passage, he's listed with faithful co-laborers of God's working. But folks, we don't remember him that way. We remember him from this verse. Demas hath what? What was his problem? Having loved this present world. Somewhere over here, he was getting it done. But along the journey of faithful service, he took his eyes off of Jesus and now for all eternity is listed as an unfaithful servant of God. You know that could happen in your life with one choice of sinful choosing. One direction against the will of God. And I'm not just talking to you lay folk. I'm talking to us preachers too. One immoral choosing. One excuse to say sin is okay that will lead from one sin to another sin to another sin to bring gratification to a sin-filled heart. And the devil wants to get you there sooner than later. Don't choose to be a Demas. Be a Luke. Be a Paul. Be a John. Be a Joshua. Be a Daniel. You know, be faithful. And folks, we sin because we want to sin. But we can be faithful if we'll just choose to be faithful. Go back with me, folks, to verse 17. And again, take this very personal. Folks, there is so much to be done through this church. And God wants to use every one of you. So you make a choice to take up those characteristics of right choosing to help you get the job done God's way. What were those two words again before I quit? What was the first A word? Availability. On the invitation, here's what some of you could do and probably should do sooner than later. Come to one of these preachers and say, you know what? I've been sidelined too long by my own choosing. I've been watching the parade of faithful service pass me by far too many years. And you know what? I want to be available for whatever needs to be done to help souls be saved and lives impacted for all eternity. Wouldn't that be a good thing to do tonight, people? Commit with God and then share with your preacher, you know what? I've committed myself to be a volunteer for Jesus and I'm not going to make the call. I'm going to let God guide and direct me every day and I'm going to choose to be faithful to the opportunities God opens up to me. You're not going to pick and choose. No. You've done that too long. You're going hands off and say, God, I'm a servant. And I want to be used the way you know I'm to be used. So come to commit yourself to be available. And what's the second word? Starts with a D. Dependable. Don't make someone come and clean up your mess. Or finish your project. Or again, be a better testimony than you are of completion for the glory and honor of God. And maybe if you're in that position, you won't come down and ask God's forgiveness. And you may need to go to someone else you've messed up as far as the program of God is concerned. But come and commit through the power of God. And folks, that's the only way we can do it. The only way I can do it, through the power of God's working, be dependable to get things done God's way. Look back at the verse and we'll be done. Take heed. Be alert. Be aware. Don't miss it. Take heed to the ministry which thou hast received in the Lord that thou fulfill it. What does that mean? Here it is, folks, in common, straight-up language. Get the job done.